Praise the Lord, church. We serve a great, awesome God. So great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's so great to see Brother Kerry Millen back with us. It's kind of starting to look more like Santa Claus back there, though. Ho, ho, ho. And we also have Ken and Connie Manley with us tonight, which is so awesome to see them. And this is Sister Lori Grant's oldest brother and sister-in-law. They grew up here very old, she says. Very old and aging. You want to add any more adjectives to that here? Great to see them tonight. And it's also great to have Brother and Sister Gray and their family, missionaries to Zambia. And we're going to have them. Now, if you would like to take, and all of our giving is online, if you would like to take and support them and give in the offering towards the work there, just go, when you do that online, just make sure you just notify or write in there that it's for missionary for Zambia, and we will get that forwarded to them. But it's great to have them here. They've been in the area for most of the week, but they're here tonight, and we're thankful to have them here. We'd like for Brother Gray to come on up and introduce his family, and feel free to preach to us tonight. God bless you, brother.
Good to have you here.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Thank you, Pastor Grant, for the invitation to be here. We are very honored to be here tonight in Madison, Wisconsin, and to feel the presence of the Lord. I am so thankful that he's not a respecter of places. He's not a respecter of persons. But when we come together and begin to worship and magnify his name, he is in the midst. Amen. Brother Demas, it is an honor to meet you in person, sir. Thank you for doing such a great job of making sure that we have a schedule and everything is going smoothly. I appreciate that. Brother Rossing, it is also an honor to be in service with you as well, sir. You have done a great job on this week that we are scheduled to be in this area, and we thank you so much for your hard work and your dedication to the kingdom of God. Thank you so very much. Amen. We are the missionaries to Zambia. I have my beautiful bride, my wife of 23 years in the house with me tonight, and I'm so thankful to have her, Patricia Gray, my middle son, Patrick Gray, that played the drums, and then my youngest son, Noah Gray. It is an honor to serve the Lord with them and to travel with them, and just excited about what God is doing all over the world. We have a video that we start off with. That video just introduces who we are, where we've been, and where we're headed. Open your heart, open your mind, and allow God to speak to you in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Well, Bakang Jehovah, praise the Lord. Nami Pasanimoni Muzina La Yesu. Greetings in the name of Jesus. We are so happy to be here with you this evening. And just before we came, we were gifted a wonderful basket and from your church, I'm pretty sure it was. And so thank you so much, sister, and your husband for delivering that to us and for anyone who gave toward that. I was joking with my husband that we had enough snacks now to last us until we go back to Africa. but it was very, very kind, very thankful for that. But the video was sharing with you about how we spent about 2.5 years in Botswana doing our short-term missions, and it was a privilege and honor to do that. But while we were there, there was not hardly a day that would go by that we were not teaching somebody a Bible study, teaching a new converts class, but teaching somebody about Jesus. And as we began to teach these Bible studies, and you could see the light come on in people's eyes as they understood truth for the very first time, that there's really only one God and his name is Jesus. It was had such an impact on us to see that light brighten people's eyes and then see them baptized in that saving name and filled with the Holy Ghost and their lives begin to change. It became an addiction for us, an addiction to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. And so we're so excited to be going to Zambia, but in preparation for switching fields, we honored our supervising missionaries at the time. They were hoping that God was calling us to Zimbabwe, but so we took a trip there to honor them. We took a long weekend to Zimbabwe, and while we were there, we stayed at a guest house. It's similar to an Airbnb. The only difference there is they usually have someone that stays on the property with you. And so the lady that was taking care of us that weekend, her name was Alice. So it was her job to make sure that we were safe, we did not need anything, and that we were safe. And so we got to know Alice a little bit over the weekend, but on Sunday we were preparing to leave for service, and it was Alice's job to stay there. And we were pulling out of the property, and she was closing the gate behind us, and I looked into her eyes. And you could see such a deep hunger in her eyes. She really wanted to go to church with us, but her job required that she stay there. So we went ahead, and we went to service, and they were having big church there in Bulawayo. That meant that they were having three churches combined for the service, and they were hosting it at the Bible school headquarters. And this was on a very busy street. There were hundreds of people everywhere, many of them selling things, most of it vegetables and things like that. And many of them were also there begging, but hundreds of people. And so we were having service and having a great time worshiping the Lord African style. And we had 7 people receive the Holy Ghost. We had one of the young ladies went out to the street. She brought in a blind beggar and he received partial sight. You guys were singing about blind eyes open. We've seen it happen. Amen. And so we had a great time, and so we got back to the guest house that afternoon. Alice opened the gate for us, and we drove in, and we had not even gotten out of our vehicles, and Alice was right there at our vehicle. And she said, "How was church?" I said, "Well, Alice," I said, "we had a great time today," and I began to share with her everything that had happened. And Alice said, "Wow, it sounds like you really had some great church." I said, "We did, Alice." I said, "But you know what? I know some worship songs in Shona, and we could have church right here for you this evening." And Alice's eyes got so big around. She said, "You would do that for me?" I said, "We would love to do that for you, Alice." And so that evening, Alice came into the living room of the guest house, and she brought in a friend with her, and we began to worship the Lord in Shona, their language. And the presence of the Lord just filled that living room. Amen. And after we had worshiped for a while, my husband began to lead us out in the word, starting in John chapter 3, where it says, "You must be born again of water and of spirit." Alice had been raised Baptist, but because of her current job, she had not been able to go to church for many months. And she had been baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But as we began to share the word of the Lord to her and show her how the apostles baptized in the New Testament, by the end of the Bible study that evening, Alice said, "I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus." Amen. There was a swimming pool in the yard of the guest house, and so we took Alice out that evening and we baptized her in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. But something that impacted us was that she had came prepared for her service. You know, when you haven't had service for so long, how many remember 2020, right? You came prepared for service when you have time for church, right? She had came prepared. She had brought a notebook with her. And as we were giving her scriptures, she was taking notes as fast as she could. And by the end of the Bible study, she told us what she was doing. She said, "I'm taking notes because I'm going to go back to my home village and I'm going to tell everybody I know that they have to be baptized in the name of Jesus." Amen. So if we had not taken the time, though, to see the hunger in Alice, to see a lost and a hurting soul, an entire village in Zimbabwe might never have heard about baptism in the name of Jesus. It's so important as we go about our daily lives, especially in this busy holiday season. There's a lot of people that hurt in these holidays, right? It's so important that we take the time to really look around us and see how we can share the gospel of Jesus with everyone we meet. Amen. We knew we weren't called to Zimbabwe that weekend, but yet we still saw someone that was reaching for Jesus. But we are so excited to go to Zambia. I was actually called to Zambia as a teenager. You guys, God, if you will listen to God's voice, you can hear him calling you even at your age. But there were several countries that God had put on my heart as a teenager, and we're so excited because we found that in Zambia they have some refugee camps. One is a Somali camp and one is a Congolese camp, and both of those are people that God had put on my heart as a teenager. So we're going to Zambia, then we're also going to be reaching the Somalis, we're also going to be reaching the Congolese, and then another people group that is very dear to our hearts is the Gujarati Indians. In Zambia, they are a completely unreached people group. And it's our passion to reach the people that nobody else is reaching for. We would love for you to partner with us as we do that. We have these cards out on our table. They don't cost anything. Please feel free to take one. On the back are some things that you can join with us in praying for the nation of Zambia. Of course, it takes more than just prayer. We do need finances to get there. This yellow form is to support us monthly financially. If you can join together as a church, we would greatly appreciate that. I don't know if you do that individually here. If you feel led to take us on individually, you can talk more about that with us after the service. The national leadership in Zambia, one of their goals for us is to help them start churches in the smaller cities and rural areas. And so with starting churches, we know that they're going to need a building as well. So we have a current project of raising money to build churches. Those are one-time donations. If you want to give toward that, you can talk with us after service. Thank you so much. Zikomo Kwambili, Lesa Amupale. God bless you.
God is so good. Now, who has ever gotten bitten by a lion? No one? Well, I have. See, we were at a lion park, and of course we were there to pet lions. And I was walking by this tree, but I didn't realize that there was a lion behind this tree. And when I got in that perfect position, that lion reached out and it bit my arm. So now, I'm running around like a chicken with its head cut off, with a lion dragging behind me. And about a minute later, the staff manages to get the lion off, and I went to the nurse's office, and everything was fine. Now, I do have a point for this, so please bear with me. I'm taking my text from 1 Peter 5:8. I didn't go into much detail about this story, so if you have any questions, I will be in the foyer after service, or just somewhere. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. My title is Guard Your Soul. When you hear the word lion, you think about King of the Jungle. When you hear the word lion, you think about an animal, not the devil. You see in the movies on how the lion waits for the perfect moment to attack. See, if we aren't on guard, the lion, a.k.a. the devil, will attack us. There was a story in the Bible at Jericho that the Israelites saw the wall and they were thinking on how we're going to get over this wall. But the people in Jericho knew that the Israelites had a guard. So they put all the guards on the walls, they shut all the gates. But Noah, you may be asking, Noah, why do I need a wall in my life? See, and then what is the wall? See, the wall is God and a consistent prayer life. If you do not have a consistent prayer life, your wall will start to crumble. But if you do have a consistent prayer life, your wall will get bigger, it will get stronger. But if you aren't on guard, the lion can get in. So be on guard. And now you have gotten a strong wall. You have hid God's word in your heart. Now what? You need to go. See, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. See, God taught the Jews, but when the Jews would not listen, he went to the Romans, he went to the Greek. And then he commanded us to go. God died for everyone, not just us. We need to go because we only have a limited time. Statistics show that one person dies every 40 seconds, sometimes more, sometimes less. That person may not have known Jesus. Just in the time that I have been speaking, at least one person has died. This world is dying. And now you are going, you are on the streets, you are giving Bible studies, but you are still walking by sight. See, if we walk by sight, we will only see the exterior of people, not the interior. We will not see the field ready to harvest. We will just see a dying world. That is why we need to walk by faith. When we walk by faith, we will see a field ready to harvest of souls. We will not see a beggar. We will see the person that's on the inside, the soul, the person that needs Jesus. If we walk by sight, we won't see the Alices in this world, in your grocery store, in your school, in your university, just on the street. See, there are many cities and countries that don't have God's word in them. What can you do? You can be the next person that opens up a school, opens up a city, opens up a country, opens up a town. If we do not go, no one will know Jesus. And God commanded us to go, so why don't we? If we have God's word in our heart, and we have been baptized, and we know the truth, why can't we share it? Why can't we go? Why can't we just teach one more Bible study, pass out another tract, knock on another door? See, I challenge you to go, to hide God's word in your heart so you can teach others, so that you can maybe make a P7 club in your school or in your university so that you can shine God's light in this dark world. Thank you and God bless.
Amen, that's so true. Is this on? Yeah. Amen, it's so true. And When we were in Botswana, we would minister in our services in multiple languages, Setswana, which was their language, Shona, because there are many Zimbabweans who live in the country, and then also in Southern Sotho, which is kind of a broad Southern African language, but none of those are spoken in Zambia, where we're now going, and so we are endeavoring to learn two of their five major languages, Chinyanja and Chibemba. And then to reach into the Gujarati Indian community, I'm also studying Hindi. So pray for us that we can learn those languages quickly. Amen. But no matter where you are, you can use the name Jesus. You can use the name Jesus. You can use Jesso in Botswana. You can use Jesu in Zimbabwe, or you can use Yesu in Zambia, or whatever name you want to put there. As long as you're using the name Jesus, it doesn't matter how you're pronouncing it, which language you're using. His name is powerful. His name is the greatest above every other name. Amen. This song that I'm going to sing to you says, "How excellent is your name." But I'll sing it first in Setswana, then I'll switch and sing it in Shona. But the verses that are in their languages, they say, "You are King of kings, you are Lord of lords, all things exalt you." Worship with me as I sing. Ukosi ari kosi. Name some praise tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. You deserve all the glory, God. You are most excellent in all the earth. You are my King of kings. You are my Lord of lords, Jesus. Hallelujah.
How excellent is that name? Amen. So thankful that I know that name. Amen. The name that is above every name. Amen. If you all will turn in your Bibles this evening, we're going to go to Mark chapter 6. We're going to read verse 34. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Thank you once again, Pastor Grant, for the opportunity to share our burden and to minister tonight. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. I want to preach for a short period of time this evening on this topic, moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, God. I thank you, Lord, for the presence that we feel in this place, God. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that is here, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would minister in a mighty way, God, that you would flow throughout this sanctuary, God, that you would meet needs, Lord. God, that you would touch people's heart, Lord, that you would minister to us right where we are, oh God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would be with this congregation, Lord, as they endeavor to reach out into this community, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give them wisdom and direction, God. Lord, that you would direct their footsteps, that you would direct their paths. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give them spiritual eyes, Lord. God, that they would see what you see, God, that they would hear what you hear, God. And Lord, that you would give them a holy boldness, Lord, to speak your name and to give their testimony and to invite people to a place where their lives can be changed and an impact can be made on this community, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would make them wise as serpents, but harmless as doves, oh God. Lord, that you would go before them, that you would shine through them, that your love and your spirit, God, would go forth, Lord. I pray, God, that you would break down strongholds. God, that you would be with this people, God, as they move throughout this community, God. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts tonight, oh God. Lord, that you would open our ears, our hearts, our minds to receive your word. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd anoint my lips of clay, my heart, my mind to deliver your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says amen. Amen. Moved with compassion. This passage of scripture finds Jesus and his disciples, they were actually looking for a place of rest. They were trying to get away from the crowd. They were going off to get some R&R and to recharge and just kind of relax. But somehow, the grapevine of that day, they figured out where Jesus and the disciples were going. Maybe the disciples were talking about it at the wrong place and somebody was eavesdropping, or maybe they had gotten into a habit of going to this certain place, and so the people knew that when Jesus and the disciples were going away that this was the location they were going. The scriptures do not indicate how the people knew. But the people found out, and they were waiting on Jesus and the disciples when they got there. Now, Jesus, in his humanity, being tired and just wanting to rest, he could have looked across that crowd that day with annoyance. He could have thought to himself, I was trying to get away from these people. Why are they here? But instead, as Jesus began to look across that crowd, he began to have compassion on them. He saw them right where they were. He saw them in the condition that they were in. He realized that they were lost. He knew that they didn't know what direction that they needed to go in. And he was moved with compassion. And he began to sit down and to teach them once again. Compassion is defined as a sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. The Latin root, compassion, it means the feeling of sorrow or deep tenderness for one who is suffering or experiencing misfortune. When you truly feel compassion towards someone, it is more than just a passing feeling of sorrow or just thinking in the back of your mind that, wow, that person is going through a hard time. But when you are truly feeling compassion towards someone, you are experiencing the same emotions and feelings that they are going through. You are putting yourself in their shoes, so to speak. Maybe you see someone that maybe they are experiencing something that you experienced in the past. Maybe they have lost a parent or a child, and maybe sometime in the past that you have lost a parent or a child yourself, and so you can put yourself in their shoes. You have experienced what they are experiencing. Therefore, you are having compassion toward them. When my oldest son, who is 19, was a baby, I fell out of a boat and I dislocated my shoulder. My wife had to take me to the emergency room for the emergency room personnel to be able to relocate my shoulder back into the socket the way it was supposed to be. After that time, my left shoulder, which was the one that was dislocated, would spontaneously dislocate. I would get it in that certain position, right or wrong, whichever perspective you look at it, and it would go out of place. I learned how to manipulate it on my own to get it back in place, and then I would baby it for whatever time would allow and then go back to my normal activities. My wife is a registered nurse by trade, and she has worked in the emergency room. She has worked in ICU. She's been house charge. Worked in a cardiac step-down unit. She has been in some high-stress situations in her job. She knows how to deal with an emergency. One Saturday morning, I got up and I walked into our kitchen and I felt this urge, need to stretch. And so I stretched that morning. And when I did, my shoulder dropped out. And I knew as soon as it happened, I hit the floor on my knees in pain, and I knew that I was not going to be able to manipulate it that morning like I normally did to get it back in place. My wife had followed me out of the bedroom that morning, and when she saw me hit the floor, she perceived what had happened, and it almost made her physically ill because she knew that I was in pain and she knew that there was really not much that she could do for it. And so it was all she could do to muster up the strength and get herself together enough to help me get out the door to take me to the emergency room to get my shoulder put back in place. It took a trip to the operating room for a closed reduction that morning to get my shoulder back in place. What was happening? A trained professional, someone that was used to dealing with emergency situations, yet when she saw her husband, someone that she loved, someone that she cared about, in a place of pain and agony, she was not able to help as much as if it had been a stranger. Why? Because of her love for me, and because I was close to her, it was personal. It was more than just a professional situation. She was moved with compassion. In Mark chapter 1 and verses 40 through 41, it says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hands and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." Here was a leper. In that day and time, if you received a diagnosis of leprosy, it was a death sentence. There wasn't much that they could do. They didn't have medical knowledge that they could treat leprosy. And so if you were diagnosed with leprosy, you were banished to a colony outside of the city. You could no longer go to social gatherings or go to the market and just go and do business as normal. In fact, if you saw someone coming close to you, you would have to cover yourself and cry with a loud voice, "Unclean, unclean." Yet when this leper came in contact with Jesus and he asked Jesus to heal him, that the God of glory was moved with compassion, and he went beyond just a healing, but he physically touched this man and made him whole. Who knows how long of a time it had been since he had been in contact with another human. Who knows how long it had been since someone had looked at him in another way other than disgust and disdain. But yet a Savior, he went beyond the societal norm and he reached out and he physically touched him, moved with compassion to heal him and minister to him right where he was. Luke chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not." You see, Jesus was walking down the road, just minding his own business and getting ready to enter into a city. But yet there was a funeral procession coming out, a widow following after the casket of her only son as they were coming out the gate of the city. There was no one in the crowd that looked up and said, "Hey, here comes Jesus, maybe he can help." No, instead, the God of glory, Jesus, he saw a woman and he perceived what was going on. He saw her in her situation, a widow woman that would probably not ever marry again and did not have any hope of having another child. And it moved him with compassion to the point that he stopped that funeral procession that day, and he raised that young man from the dead and presented him back to his mother. Aren't you thankful today that God knows right where we are? He knows whatever situation you're going through. He sees the hurt. He sees the pain, and he's willing and able to reach down and minister to you right where you are if you will allow him to. Moved with compassion. Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 through 34. And it says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?' They say unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him." Jesus was going down the road. He had a crowd with him that day. These two blind men were probably in their designated place. The people that frequented that area probably knew right where they should be or were going to be. And they were there begging for their substance, just hoping that somebody would drop a coin to them so that they could maybe buy some bread or and support themselves. But something must have been a little different that day. Maybe it was a little noisier on the street than normal. And somehow these two blind men figured out that Jesus was walking their way. No doubt they had probably heard of the miracles. They had heard of the things that Jesus has done. Maybe they had heard of a blind friend that had their eyes opened by Jesus. But when they heard Jesus was coming their way that day, they began to cry out to get the Lord's attention. The other people around them were like, "Shh, be quiet. The master doesn't have time for you today. Just stand still. Stay in your place. Don't make a ruckus. Don't make any more noise. Just be quiet and let the crowd pass by today." But something rose up inside of them and they began to cry out the louder, "O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on us." They got Jesus' attention and he touched their eyes and he healed them that day as he was moved with compassion because of their situation as they began to cry out to him. Jesus will hear your cry. He will be moved with compassion and he will touch your need if you'll just get his attention today. Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." As Jesus began to look across the multitude this day, he began to address his disciples and say, "Hey, the harvest truly is plenteous, People are hungry for the presence and Spirit of God. They are desiring for something more. They're tired of the same old, same old. They're looking for hope, but they need someone that is willing to get out there and labor. They need someone that is willing to reach for them and give them hope in their situation. You see, there never was a harvest issue. There never has been a harvest issue. What the issue has been is his people has gotten too comfortable inside of the storehouse. People have gotten too comfortable in their relationship with God, and they're not willing to inconvenience themselves and go outside of the doors of the church house and reach for the lost, reach for those that are hurting, reach for those that are without hope, reach for those that Jesus is reaching for. Moved with compassion. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Aren't you thankful for his mercy and his compassion? If it wasn't for the mercy of God, we wouldn't be here today. If we got what we deserved, we would all be in a grave somewhere. But oh, for the mercy and compassion of God that loves us. Psalms chapter 86 and verse 15. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth." Oh, thank God for the truth of God's word. Thank God for the revelation of who he is. Thank God for his patience with us. Amen. That despite our flaws, despite our failures, that he still loves us and shows his love and compassion toward us. Each time Jesus was moved with compassion, something miraculous happened. People were taught. They were fed both spiritually and physically. Others called to reach the lost. People were healed, and the dead were raised. All because Jesus was moved with compassion. As Christians, we are supposed to be Christ-like. Where is our compassion? Do we have compassion for the lost? Do we have compassion for the sick? Do we have compassion for those who are hungry, both physically and spiritually? We need compassion. Compassion that moves us the way Jesus was moved by compassion. Moved to the point that we are willing to do whatever it takes to see God do the miraculous for those around us. Moved with compassion to the point that when we see lost individuals, we desire to reach them. Do you have the compassion of Christ today? When we started our church in Palapye, Botswana, the third largest city in Botswana, a city of 150,000 people that had never been evangelized with the apostolic truth as we know it. We went in there not knowing anybody, not having any contacts. Our first weekend that we launched our first service, we had a group from the capital city that came and helped us knock on doors and invite as many people as we could. That very first service that we had, the third Sunday in January of 2022, we had 35 first-time visitors, And five of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the very first time, which we give God all the praise and all the glory. We just began to reach out into that community, just tried to minister however we could. We came across people who were poor and struggling from day to day, from meal to meal. We gave food to those that we could and just tried to minister in any way that we could. We had a lot of young people that would come by and hang out at our house. We had two teenage boys and one preteen. And we would minister to them. We would teach them Bible studies. One of the young ladies that started coming, and we started teaching Bible study and new converts classes too. Her name was Patience. She was not patient. She did not live up to her namesake. She was constantly in fights, constantly getting in trouble at school. But as we began to teach her the Word of God and she saw the need to be baptized, and we baptized her in Jesus' name, God began to do a work in her life. And the family and teachers at school began to see a difference. We came home for the holidays, and while we were home, she lived with her grandmother. Her grandmother went to the doctor because she had been having some health issues, and she was given a bad diagnosis. We didn't know to the extent until we got back, and when we got back, we found out that she was diagnosed with stage 4 uterine cancer. To make a long story short, she invited us to her home to minister and to pray for her. We anointed her with oil and prayed the prayer of faith. And when she went back to the doctor for her next appointment to see exactly what was going on and to consult with the cancer doctor and to get a treatment plan, when they went to do the same testing, they didn't come back the same. Her first CAT scan, they found cancer. It was in the uterus, and it had metastasized, and they found it around her kidneys, in her liver, and in her lungs. But when they went back and redone the CAT scan, they could no longer find cancer in the lungs. They could no longer find cancer in the liver, and they could no longer find cancer around the kidneys. It went from a stage 4 diagnosis to a stage 2 diagnosis. They were able to do a hysterectomy, and after her post-op appointment, she was deemed to be 100% cancer-free. We serve a God that is a healer. We serve a God that can meet each and every need. All we have to do is come to Him in faith, believing. If you all were stand here in this auditorium tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what diagnosis maybe you have gotten from the doctor. I don't know what your family situation is, but I have a God that He knows, He understands, and He is moved with compassion, and He wants to minister to your need tonight. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we as we are, yet without sin." He's walked the earth. He has felt the same things that you have felt. He has felt pain. He has felt rejection. He has felt hate. And the list goes on and on. He's been where you are, and He wants to minister to your need tonight. If you'll come to Him in faith believing, anything is possible. These altars are open tonight, and I invite you to come. If you need a healing in your body, I invite you to come. If you need a healing spiritually or physically, I invite you to come and cry out to Him tonight. just like the others that cried out in the Word of God. He wants to meet your need tonight. You just need to cry out to Him and give it to Him tonight in Jesus' name. If you've never repented of your sins, I invite you to come. Tell God that you're sorry and that you're ready to start walking a new path toward Him. If you've never been baptized in the lovely name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, I'm sure your pastor and ministry team would love to explain that process to you and make arrangements for that. If you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the presence of the Lord is here and He wants to fill you. If you'll have faith tonight, God will meet you right where you are. God will touch you. God will minister. Why don't you come? Thank you, Jesus.
I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. All that I have is a except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
I want to thank the Gray family tonight for awesome night of ministry, and all the way from playing the drums to listening to their son minister. I just think that is just awesome. And thank you so very much for sharing your burden with us, brother. And they will be out in the vestibule for a little bit, and they have their we will be taking them on as a partner. I don't believe that we're have them yet, but we'll take them on as a partner. And then also, if you'd like to personally do that, you can pick up that out in the vestibule. And then also any projects, if you'd like to take and give towards any of those, you can. They have $75,000 for church building. So if you'd like to donate, give any funds towards that, feel free to do that. If you give those funds to the church here, just make sure that you designate on that, so we make sure that that gets into the right missions account for them. So if you have any questions, you can talk with Sister Jessica or myself, and we can help guide you through that. But God bless you. You can continue to pray, shake hands with a brother, a sister, greet a guest. And once again, thank you, Brother and Sister Gray, for ministering to us here tonight. Be a little careful going outside. It's we're finally getting the sleet and the snow and all of that kinds of junk. Winter's finally arriving here. So God bless you. And we'll be back here on Sunday morning.